Welcome to worship on this 21st Sunday after Pentecost. The theme of today's service is captured in the psalm chosen for this day. Sing a new song to the Lord, for he has done marvelous things. So we see the Lord healing 10 lepers, and we see in other ways in the other lessons how the Lord forgives his people and cares for them. May the Lord bless your worship this morning. We rise and join together in worshiping our triune God. We follow the order of service that begins on the top of page 3 of your service folder. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God, our Father, asking him, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to grant us forgiveness.
Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil, and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord.
Merciful Lord, to your faithful people pardon and peace, that they may be cleansed from all their sins and serve you with a quiet mind. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The first scripture lesson of today's service is written in the 12th chapter of the first book of Samuel. In these words, Samuel, who was a wonderful gift of God to the children of Israel at perhaps the worst time in their history, when they were at the bottom of a trough of unfaithfulness to the Lord. But God used Samuel to bring many things to fruition. Ultimately, of course, Samuel anointed David to be king of Israel. Samuel is now speaking to his people because the time has come for his ministry to God's people to come to a close. And so he reminds them of the importance of being faithful to the Lord and what wonderful blessings God has given to his sinful people. "Do not be afraid," Samuel replied. "You have done all this evil, yet do not turn away from the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. Do not turn away after useless idols. They can do you no good. nor can they rescue you because they are useless. For the sake of his great name, the Lord will not reject his people because the Lord was pleased to make you his own. As for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you, and I will teach you the way that is good and right. But be sure to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. Consider what great things he has done for you. This is the word of the Lord. The psalm chosen for this day is Psalm 111. Its refrain reminds us of the meaning of today's lesson. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. Today's second lesson comes to us from the first chapter of Paul's second letter to the Christians at Corinth. Usually we take it upon ourselves to decide what things are marvelous gifts from God. But Paul reminds us that everything through which the Lord works his will is a marvelous work of God. The second lesson will be the text for this morning's sermon. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. This is the word of the Lord. We rise for the words of Jesus. The Holy Gospel is written in the 17th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Luke. This is the familiar story of the healing of the 10 lepers. One of the lessons, of course, is that we should be thankful for the gifts that God gives us. But we should also see in this gospel lesson how the Lord heals those who are sick, whether it's sick with physical illness or sick with sin. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ. Praise be to you, O Christ.
We confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We continue our worship with the hymn of the day, hymn number 520.
Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. That is a promise from your God. Dear people of God, have you ever used the expression or heard somebody say, "I thought I was going to die"? Sometimes it's silly. You're talking with a girlfriend and she comes back from her first blind date with a gentleman and she realized when she went to use the ladies' room, toothpaste crusted in the corner of her mouth. She says, "I thought I was going to die." That's silly. What's serious are these miners who were trapped in the ground. I recently heard one of them, and this was apparently before they had this deal that they're not going to talk to the press until they all get together and they can all get a piece of the financial pie. But one of them was being interviewed shortly after he was brought up, and he looked at the gentleman interviewing him, and through a interpreter, he said, "Every day, I thought I was going to die." And then he looked him right in the eye and said, "Do you know what that's like?" "No, of course not." He thought he was going to die. St. Paul, who wrote the sermon text for this morning, he knew what that was like. Right from the beginning of his ministry on his first missionary journey, it started off just fine. A little cruise on the Mediterranean Sea. He stopped at an island. Then he sailed up to the mainland. He had a nice walk through what we would call Turkey. And everything was going fine. He even healed a man by God's grace, a man who was born crippled. Paul healed him. And then some locals decided to rough him up. They beat him up. They stoned him. They threw his lifeless body outside the city. And they only did that because they thought he was dead. You think, looking back, St. Paul ever thought, "Boy, I thought I was going to die"? You know, being trapped in a mine, in the dark, in the humidity, that's terrible. Being beaten up, left for dead, that's terrible. But being spiritually dead, that's a problem. A problem that we don't think about very often, especially not when life is going pretty well for us. I came across this line when I was listening to the radio: "Ain't worried about tomorrow when you're living in a perfect world." You don't think about death very often when things are going great, do you? You don't think about God very often when things are going great, do you? But when you're trapped 2,000 feet below the surface of the earth, then you start thinking about God. When you get beat within an inch of your life, then you start thinking about God. When life is very, very difficult, for whatever reason is in your mind right now that life is difficult, then you start thinking about God. And Kip, I have no idea who Kip is, but he felt the need to put his words out on the internet for all of us to think about. As he is thinking about these miners, and they all come up and they're all thanking God, and Kip can't believe they were, he said, "Since nobody else has done so yet, let me heave out the shovel full of obvious. What kind of God lets the miners get trapped in the first place and then tortures them and their loved ones for 70 days before deciding to free them? Criminy," Kip says. What kind of God lets something bad happen? St. Paul says the kind of God who loves you very much and wants you to rely on him more than you have in the past. St. Paul said it like this: "We do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life." Boy, Paul thought he was going to die. Life was difficult for him. "Indeed, in our hearts we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead." Paul shares with us a very, very important reminder today that we need to hear over and over and over again, and then one more time, so that we listen to him. God allows life to happen to you and to me so that we rely on him. And not just for the physical, what about the spiritual? Right? Trapped in a mind? Bad. Getting beaten up to the point of death? Terrible. Spiritual death? Do you remember how God talked about spiritual death last week in Romans chapter 6? He said, the wages of sin is death. That's horrible. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, we were by nature objects of God's wrath. That's horrible. And in Romans 8, Paul talks about spiritual death like this. The mind of the sinful man is death. And then he goes on to say how we can't even thank God, we can't even praise God, we don't even want to when we are spiritually dead. That's a big problem in our lives. And God has promised us that even as he delivers us from all of our problems, so he has delivered us from spiritual death too. St. Paul talks about it. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope. You know, there's people debate about just exactly what Paul was thinking about here. It sounds like maybe his first missionary journey where he got beat up and tossed outside the city, that may not have been what he was talking about. He may have been talking about a riot in Ephesus when Paul got the silversmiths' union all worked up because they were no longer able to sell these idols that they were making out of silver. And so they got all riled up. They started a riot, and it looked like Paul and his companions were going to be killed. And then the city clerk stepped up, and he said, guys, don't do this. And so who delivered Paul? Did God deliver Paul, or did the city clerk? Or you think back to his first missionary journey that I was talking about. Why did these people let him live? It's because they thought he was dead. God didn't really save Paul at all, did he? The people just didn't finish the job. Paul says, God is going to deliver you from all these things. And I know some of us here are facing a little bit more than other people. Some of you may be facing death, literally. Some of you might be sick. Some of you might be going to visit somebody in the hospital right after worship today. And some of you may be skipping through life just fine. But who's keeping you safe? Do you think it's the doctor who is prescribing your medication? Or the scientist who developed your medication? Or the doctor who is incredibly intelligent and he has you on this plan? Do you think those are keeping you safe today? Or do you think the engineer who designed these rafters or the rafters themselves are keeping you safe from the ceiling falling on you? I'm sure there's a formula, maybe you know it, some sort of mathematical formula that can tell us why the Earth stays in its orbit instead of flying into the sun. And you really think it's the law of physics that are keeping us safe today? We need this reminder that St. Paul shares with us today. Don't you think sometimes we need God to let life happen so that we remember to rely on him? Paul said he has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. Here's a question for you. Does God have to do that? Does God have to keep you safe and deliver you? Does God even have to forgive your sins? You think of the 10 lepers this morning. What did they do that was so great that Jesus should take time out of his ministry to help them? 9 of them didn't even come back to say thank you. They didn't do a whole lot to deserve deliverance from Jesus. The pastor did an excellent job introducing the first lesson from Samuel today, didn't he? Did those people deserve anything from God? Samuel said, you have done all this evil. Yet, for the sake of his great name, the Lord will not reject his people, because the Lord was pleased to make you his own. But be sure to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. Consider what great things God has done for you. They forgot the great things that God had done for them. They were doing a lot of evil. And now will you do something with me? Will you check the PC part of your mind that doesn't like to talk about evil and sin? And let's get over the postmodern, don't tell me what's right and wrong, I'll figure it out for myself. Let's just get rid of all that and be honest. Is there evil in your life? Do you do those things God labels as evil? Are you the 1 of 10 or 9 of 10? Do you take God's protection seriously and thank Him for it daily? And I know you can get obscene when you think, you know, well, do you ever thank God for the ceiling not crashing down? You know, probably not. But do you take God's care and His protection for granted? His promise that He has died for your evil? Do you work hard to not do more evil in the future? Do we really deserve God's protection and God's deliverance? You have done all this evil, Samuel said. However, for the sake of His great name, the Lord will not reject His people, because the Lord was pleased to make you His own. God was pleased to make you His own. And He proved it by delivering you from death. God raised you from the dead, spiritually, when He brought you to faith. Jesus died on the cross for those times when we forget to thank God for His providence. For every day that we live, for every day that God keeps us safe. Jesus died for the times when we forget to say thank you, when He delivered us from very serious medical issues, when He delivered us from very physical danger, when He keeps us safe every day, and we don't even say thank you. Or we don't even try not to do the evil the next day. Yeah, Jesus died for all those sins. And God makes us alive in Jesus. God raises the dead. God has delivered us and He promises to deliver us. St. Paul says, rely on Him. And now the sermon is going to get very, very difficult. Because it's easy to look back and see how God delivered you from something. It's easy for us to look back and see, yes, God raised us from the dead. Jesus died for our sins. We can understand that. But then Paul says God is going to deliver you in the future, and that presupposes that something bad is going to happen to you, or that you are going to struggle at some time in the future. And I can assure you that one of three things is going to happen to you. When God, for whatever reason, allows you to experience a little bit of life, when life happens in your life, one of three things is going to happen. One of them is good, one of them is better, and the third is the very best thing that could ever happen to you. And you need to get ready to hear it. It's not going to sound right. A good thing can happen to you. I suppose God could deliver you from that good, or maybe He could allow you to struggle through that good for a little bit, and then He will deliver you right away. That's good. Wouldn't you agree? Something better might happen. God might allow your life to get very, very difficult. God might allow you to suffer for a little while. And God might not ever take your difficulty away in this life. And why is that better than keeping that evil from you in the first place? Because through that struggle, God is going to force you to rely on Him. And that's even better than Him keeping you from it in the first place. And the third option, the very best option, God could call you from this world. And we think, that's not good. That's not even better. That's certainly not the best. That's terrible. Right? Might that not separate a husband from a wife or a wife from a husband? Maybe take a mom or dad away from some children? Might that not make the grandkids very, very sad? Probably. But look at what God will deliver you from if He calls you from this world. Or your loved one from this world. No more temptation. No more sickness. No more guilt. The very best thing God could ever do for us is take us from this world and take us home to Himself in heaven. On Him we have put our hope. that he will continue to deliver us. God promises he has delivered you in the past, and he will deliver you today. That's why it's so important that when life is going okay, to shore up your faith and to learn from people who have gone through very difficult times, and then they come out on the other side of it, a stronger Christian. They come out closer to God. It's important for us to shore up our faith now so that when God does take us through a time of testing and he says they're going to come, that we can get through it because we are not strong of ourselves, but because we have relied on God. And then Paul says, as you help us by your prayers, then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. Don't forget to pray. When God allows life to happen to you or to somebody that you care about, don't forget to share, here's how God is getting me through this, or here's how God has fully delivered me from this. And thank God. It was terrible to get stuck under the ground, 2,000 feet below the ground. But don't you have to wonder how many of those guys were thinking about God when they first went down the mine shaft? Or were they thinking about going to work, making some money? They came up thinking about God. Or as St. Paul was delivered when his lifeless body was thrown outside the city, or when he was delivered from the riot in Ephesus, Paul was forced to rely on God. So remember, when God allows life to happen, rely on God. Why? Because he raises the dead. He's given you spiritual life, and he's going to take you to heaven someday. Rely on God because he promises to deliver you. Whatever you're going through now, he promises to deliver you. And he's going to deliver you and take you to heaven someday. Amen. Please stand. To him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask of him or even imagine, to the only God our Savior be the praise and the glory in our lives, in his church, and in eternity. Amen. Let us worship our God who has done so much for us with our offerings. Please be seated.
We rise to pray. Lord, what a wonderful day it was for the lepers when you answered their fervent plea, "Jesus, have mercy on us." That terrible disease that separated them from everyone faded from their bodies as they went to show themselves to the priests. We are dealing with a leprosy of sin that separates us from you. We sang our heartfelt plea at the beginning of the service too, "Lord, have mercy." And you've taken our sins on yourself, nailed them to the cross, and pronounced us forgiven, spiritually healthy. We join with the Samaritan man to thank you from the bottom of our hearts. You deliver us from every deadly peril that could threaten our connection with you. The power of our sinful nature, Satan, and the evil world we live in are beyond our ability to endure. But you are leading us today to see that even the difficult things that happen in our lives are intended to make us realize that we cannot depend on ourselves. You raise us from the death of sin by your love and power, creating the bond of faith that makes us alive and reunites us with you. Show those who are affected by diseases of body and heart that you have delivered them and will continue to do so in the future. Be with the sister of Pam Pamperin, who gave birth to premature twins on Friday. Though they weigh but 3 pounds apiece, they are doing well. Watch over mother and children in this time of peril. Give strength to Felicia Wimberly, friend of the congregation, who is going through a second round of chemotherapy. And give your strength and blessings to the Brockmeyer family, relatives of Penny Beauchamp and Pam Harrison, who lost their brother this week, injured many years ago in an accident and in a vegetative state since. They also lost their mother this year. Remind them indeed that you have the best in mind for them. Bless Tim and Michelle Williamson, who are beginning their lives together as husband and wife. Make them a blessing to each other. Give your assurance of forgiveness and healing to the newest members of our congregation, who will confess their faith and promise their faithfulness later this morning. Give them and us the crown of life you promised to all who are faithful to you. We are grateful for the privilege to come to your table today. The bread and wine we receive make it possible for us to participate in the Savior's body given into death for us and in his holy blood shed for the forgiveness of sins. How great is your love. How strong your promises. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who promised that whenever two or three come together in his name, there he is with them to shepherd his flock till he comes again in glory. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song.
Oh,
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. All of our confirmed members and those guests who have previously announced may step forward now at the direction of the ushers.
Thank you.
of the Song of Thanksgiving. To the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
We give thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us with this Holy Supper. We pray that through it you will strengthen our faith in you and increase our love for one another. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. We welcome all to worship this morning. We're delighted especially to see guests who visit us. We invite you to come and worship with us again in the future. There are a number of announcements to emphasize or to explain. This afternoon, the rain's going to stay up in the mountains. Oh, we have a wonderful parish center just in case. But we're going from 2 until 6 this afternoon. Lots of good times and for the children and opportunities to fellowship for the adults as well. So we hope that all will plan to be a part of the Oktoberfest this afternoon. Next Sunday, we have a special meeting of the congregation. The Coordinating Council has adopted a recommendation to the congregation concerning the division of responsibilities among the pastors, and then, of course, the definition of the third pastor's call. You can pick up a copy of that behind the glass partition in the back. They're yellow sheets. Be sure and pick up one of those so that you can see what's going to be discussed next Sunday afternoon. 2 weeks from today is Reformation Day, and we'll be celebrating not only in the morning, but also with an area Reformation service where our sister congregations in the Sierra Circuit will be coming here. Service is here at 4:00 in the afternoon. Special music is planned. You'll want to be a part of that service as well. There's a couple of things also for you to pick up in the church lobby, a little farther back in the church. You can find a new membership list. There's all kinds of changes, of course, that always take place. Numbers and addresses and so forth. So pick up one of those. There is one back there with your name on it. So find the one that belongs to you and take that so we know who has one and who doesn't. And also back there are the third quarter statements of contributions. So may the Lord bless you in this coming week, and we invite you to greet each other.